Good Sunday morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. As Al reiterated several times, the time of day, it is in fact the day that we wake up and the clocks have changed. For most of the universe, it happens automatically with their phone, Charlie. But for me, I set an old-fashioned alarm clock.
Yeah,
one you plug in the wall and you set the time and you set the alarm.
Is it the old kind of fake wood one that everybody had, red letters?
No, Charlie. No? It's a little more modern than that.
I don't know.
So I woke up this morning at my time. And of course, as usual, I like hit snooze 700 times. So now it's 20 to 7 in my mind. So I go downstairs. I think, oh, I'll be there in time. And then I look at my phone and it says 5:45 or whatever the heck it said. So I'm like, what is happening? So the question of the day is, do I go back to bed? Do I get up and have a cup of tea and kind of get going? What do I do?
I mean, my answer is always go back to bed.
Is it?
Every time.
Every time.
Oh, yeah.
I did a combo. I went back to bed for about 10 minutes and I thought, what are you doing? Get up. Come on. You're up. And so I got up and I had a cup of tea and I did not rush to work. Got in early.
Yeah, you didn't have to call me saying 5 minutes.
I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Don't worry about it.
I always push it on Sunday. So today I'm here. I'm here early. I'm happy to have Charlie with us. I'm happy to have Al Schock doing news. We have a special person watching today. We appreciate Lorelai coming in to see if she likes this job or not. So every Sunday morning, we do a topic on health. And oftentimes during the week, if you're wondering how we pick topics, we are given a lot of press releases from various health care organizations nationwide and here in the Twin Cities. And Allina Health came out with some really interesting news this week about cancer. And it is the Allina Health Cancer Institute. And the organization is actually collaborating with St. Paul-based Astrin Biosciences for a first-of-its-kind clinical trial using artificial intelligence and a simple blood draw to revolutionize how cancer is diagnosed and treated. And we are so happy to have with us on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Dr. Badrinath Kaneti. Did I say that right, doctor?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. I was practicing. Thank you for coming on, first of all.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Did you get up at the correct time?
I did. Actually, earlier than the correct time.
Oh, dear. So this news came across our desk, and a colleague said, this looks like an interesting story for Sunday, and I reached out, and here we are. So let's talk about this clinical trial. Where are we in terms of timing, and has it started? What do you want to tell us about it, first of all, and we'll dig into some more of the particulars as we go forward.
Yeah, thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about this. And we just started the clinical trial. We already have a few patients enrolled on it, and we really appreciate them participating in the trial. And the trial is the first of its kind. It's a pilot study in about 50 to 100 patients with breast cancer. And the second phase will involve patients with other types of cancers as well. And this is to test out a technology that has been very promising in its initial development. What the technology does, it takes a blood sample and runs it through very tiny little tubes on a slide. And as the blood is running through the slide, we shoot a laser beam at this blood and take holographic images of the cells that are in the blood. And each holographic image is compared to millions of other such images that we've already captured in a database. And the computer and the artificial intelligence algorithm compares these images to what we already have in the database and classifies each cell as cancer or non-cancer or a blood cell. And this way, we're able to detect cancer cells with a very, very high degree of specificity. And we're able to, at least in the initial studies, determine that the specificity is about 99%. So when we find something, it's almost close to 100% accurate. Now, the reason we're doing these studies is to enroll large groups of patients to see if our initial results continue to stay that way. And if it's proven to be true, this is going to be remarkable because not very many tests out there have this degree of specificity.
Talk about the significance of it as it relates to a person getting that diagnosis of cancer. Is sort of the normal way and this way? Is it much more invasive and difficult to, you know what I'm saying, the process of determining whether or not a person has cancer as it stands now?
Yeah, the study that we're doing in breast cancer patients is being done particularly to aimed at women who cannot easily be picked up as having breast cancer using traditional diagnostic methods such as mammography, because about half the women cannot really get their breast cancer easily diagnosed on a mammogram. So the next best test for them is to get an MRI or a 3D ultrasound. But this is a simple blood test with a couple of tubes of blood, and it's a much better way to, or easier way, I would say, to identify if they have cancer. But more importantly, it may also tell us something more, because if the cancer cells are in the blood, that may also indicate that these cancers are a little more aggressive, which you really can't tell as easily just based on imaging. So this will add something to the traditional imaging tests, and in some cases may also be able to identify people who have cancer in which traditional diagnostic tests do not pick them up.
Dr. Badranov Kanetti is our guest, and we're talking about a new clinical trial underway. As I understand it as well, you are looking for more people. What we'd like to do now, doctor, is open up the phone lines at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226. If someone is listening and they have a question, maybe they've had breast cancer or they want to know more about this and getting involved in the clinical trial, 651-461-9226. We'll take a short break here and be back with more with the doctor and hopefully some of your calls as well. It's WCCO, 16 minutes now past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Cloudy skies, 39 degrees at 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Happy to have you with us. We are talking with Dr. Badranov Kanetti. I think I'm saying that right. I'm going to try really hard. He is the chief medical officer at Astron Biosciences and also works as at the Allina Health Cancer Institute. And we're talking about this new clinical trial and actually looking for more people to be part of it as well. It is really sounds so intriguing, so promising, doctor. We want to invite calls as well if people have questions. 651-461-9226. The texter writes this morning, doctor, is the cancer test just for breast cancer?
No, actually, we've already tested it for other cancers, such as prostate cancer, and find that it can pick up prostate cancer as well. And in the laboratory, we've looked at some other cancers, such as liver and stomach cancer, and it works in pretty much any cancer, really. The trial we're doing right now is aimed at breast cancer because it's one of the most common cancers.
And another texter writes at 651-461-9226, it sounds very promising. What do you do next? How do you know where the cancer might be? And what steps do you take if you do find cancerous cells?
Correct. What we're able to do in this trial in particular, we're looking for women who already have suspicion of breast cancer, and we're looking to get their blood samples to confirm if they have breast cancer or not. And this is more of a correlation study. If they have not been found to have cancer yet, they will need imaging, such as a mammogram, and maybe even an MRI to confirm that they have cancer, and then a biopsy to prove what kind of cancer it is, which will lead to appropriate treatment.
Because talk a little bit more about the what you're looking at. And maybe we've talked about this, but this press release I'm looking at, it says by isolating the cancer cells, it allows researchers to study them and understand how they survive, thrive, and spread. If the cancer cells are dormant, they can work to determine how to keep them that way so that they don't trigger another round of cancer decades later. And I think, to me, that is the great fear when a person has cancer. I had lung cancer, stage one primary localized, which I like to say. Almost 2 years ago, I had it removed at the Mayo doctor. And I think even getting scanned and having there be no indication of recurrence, you still live with that back in your mind saying, you know, is something back there that is going to rear its ugly head 10 years down the line. And so sort of talk about how that goes for people who have had cancer and are always worried about it coming back.
Correct. Yeah, that is obviously the great fear, and many people live with that anxiety. And sometimes the traditional x-rays and imaging don't really pick up cancer recurrence at the earliest time point. And so using tests like this, like a blood sample, to identify a few cells, we can see as many as 3 to 5 cells sometimes, cancer cells in a blood sample that's about 10 cc's. So being able to pick up these circulating cancer cells early really gives us a great indication that something's going on. We're also able to take these cells and analyze them better to determine how aggressive they are and what kind of treatment they may respond to. So that allows us to even guide the next steps in these patients.
And could you see this being kind of life-changing for a lot of people, or maybe at the cutting edge? I don't want to say a cure, but like, what ultimately are we working toward here?
Yeah, I think we're looking to, one, identify cancers as early as possible so they can get the most minimal treatment necessary to take care of their cancer. And the other thing we're able to do with this is also identify recurrence early and guide treatment so we can get much more precise, because each person is a little bit different and each cancer is a little bit different. So if we're able to identify cancer cells from that particular person and design a treatment for that's unique for that particular patient, that allows us to be much more precise and get the best and most optimal treatment to that patient with the least amount of side effects.
651-461-9226. Talk about the Allina Health Cancer Institute, and you work there. Give us kind of an overview of what the work, some of the work that's done there.
Yeah, the Allina Health Cancer Institute is pretty widespread, and it's present in all the 12 Allina hospitals that's in the Twin Cities and the surrounding areas. We have several clinics in and around these places, and it's a fully full-fledged cancer institute. We do a lot of research. We do comprehensive patient care. We offer a lot of support services for cancer patients, such as expert nurse navigation, cancer rehabilitation, nutrition, complementary medicine, and supportive oncology, as well as genetic screening for patients who have family histories of cancer. So it's a really comprehensive cancer institute, which has experts in all fields, whether it's surgery or radiation or oncology. And we offer some of the most current treatments, and we're bringing on a whole bunch of new cutting-edge clinical trials, as well as current treatments to our patients. And we've been doing this for a long time. And our cancer program has been around for about 30 years, but under the Allina Health Cancer Institute label, they've been operational for about 3 years.
3 years under that label. And how does Astrin fit into the picture, Astrin Biosciences? Is that a standalone company?
Correct. It is a standalone company, and the CEO and I were friends, and we've been doing this research along with some folks from the University of Minnesota for the last 3 or 4 years. And this is a culmination of several years' worth of research for us.
And, Doctor, we hear so much these days about artificial intelligence, and it seems like it's everywhere now, or people at least talking about it. Kind of how does artificial intelligence work in this particular study?
In this study, we have a catalog or a database of millions of images of cancer cells. So what the artificial intelligence machine does, or the computer program does, is looks at each cell image and measures a whole bunch of variables that a human eye cannot see. And then it takes those measurements and compares them to the measurements it has made of other known cancer cells that are in our database. And that way it's able to really accurately classify whether a given cell that it's seeing, a new cell, that image that it's seeing, is a cancer cell or not. And that is the beauty of artificial intelligence, because it can process all of these things in such a short time frame, about 11 milliseconds or so. And it can look at so many variables that the human eye cannot really look at all these measurements in an accurate fashion. So that's where it helps. And in the future, as this goes on, I think we're going to be able to analyze even more data and come up with the specifics around what treatment may be the most effective for a given patient as well.
Are there industries that push back on this? I mean, I look at healthcare in general, big picture, and you have all the pharmaceuticals making medications to treat cancer and all of the, and I don't mean to be, you know, suspect of what's happening, but if you eventually got to a point where you cured cancer or got it so well right down to the second that you prevented so much going forward from in terms of treatment, I mean, is there generalized support for what you're doing in medicine?
Yeah, I would say so. There's a lot of excitement in medicine around using artificial intelligence and how we use it properly. I think the biggest areas in medicine that are going to be using artificial intelligence are areas like pathology and radiology, where there's a lot of image analysis at this point. There's lots of people who are using it to determine best ways to predict the right kind of treatment that a given patient should get. Lots of research is being done, and many, many companies are being founded. So there's plenty of excitement. I don't see a lot of true pushback or hesitation in adopting artificial intelligence. We're still trying to figure out what is the best role for it and how best to use it. Mm. But I'm not sensing a lot of resistance at this point.
That's great. 651-461-9226. Let us take a question, and then we'll get that in, and then we'll take a break for some weather. This texter writes in a short time ago, I recently was diagnosed with DCIS, breast cancer. Would this trial be an option for me, and who would I contact to sign up? And I don't know what DCIS is. But.
Yeah, DCIS is ductal carcinoma in situ. So it's a very early stage breast cancer. And yes, this trial would certainly be one that you can participate in. And we're happy to provide you with a phone number to call so you can do that. It's actually in our press release as well. And we are able to find circulating tumor cells or cancer cells even in patients with DCIS. That is what has been surprising. It has been known for a long time that patients with DCIS sometimes do shed cancer cells in their blood, and that may have implications for the patient. So we can certainly test for that. And this particular trial does include patients like that.
Well, apparently, Doctor, we are getting calls from listeners who want to know how to reach out and be part of the study. I have the number. I'll say it, and then we'll also include it on our podcast, because we'll be putting this up on our webpage, WCCORadio.com, and next to this audio that we'll include there, we'll make sure that number's there. But if you're listening right now, we're going to give you the number to sign up for or find out more about this clinical trial. It is 612-863-8716. I'll say it one more time, 612-863-8716. So we'll get to that. We'll answer some more questions. We'll take a quick break and do some weather, Doctor, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking cancer with Dr. Vodranov Kaneti. He is with the Allina Healthcare Cancer Institute and Astron Biosciences. And we're talking about, if you just joined us this morning with the second half hour of the show, we're talking about a first-of-its-kind clinical trial using artificial intelligence and a simple blood draw to revolutionize how cancer is diagnosed and treated. Doctor, thanks for sticking around with us. We want to make sure we say the number again, because people are now texting in and they're wanting to know how to be part of the study. And I think that's fantastic that we're eliciting this kind of a response. Maybe you want to say it. How can they find out more about the study? What is that number, please? And say it slowly, please.
Maybe you could repeat that number for me. That,
yes, I can. I have it right in front of me. 612-863-8716, and that's someone there will answer probably Monday and talk about how you can get involved. This texter writes as a follow-up, are you saying that a cancer cell is from the prostate is distinguishable from a cancer cell that has a breast cancer? So can you, with artificial intelligence and the blood draw and this new technology, can you differentiate between a breast cancer cell and a prostate cancer cell?
Yes, we can. That is the advantage for the artificial intelligence, because what we do is we look at the image of the cell, and then we're also able to collect the cell and stain it for different specific markers that distinguish a prostate cell from a breast cell, from a colon cell. So we're using multiple different technologies all combined together and feeding it into the artificial intelligence algorithm that helps us distinguish different types of cancers. And the accuracy is pretty remarkable.
So in differentiating between different kinds of cancer and different parts of different organs in your body, has that always been true? Can you tell the difference between a breast cancer cancer and a prostate cancer cell before this, or is this just happening now?
No, we are able to do that. Pathologists are able to take either cells or pieces of tissue from different organs, and they are able to distinguish them because there are some unique characteristics. Sometimes it becomes harder, and that's where some of these sophisticated methods, such as artificial intelligence or advanced imaging, will really help. We're using known methods and then enhancing them to get much more accuracy in differentiating the different types of cancers.
So I'm reading a little more about this. The second phase of the trial is expected to start in 2024 and will include other types of cancer patients, including lung, brain, kidney, and prostate. The question I have is, so you are looking for people who actually have those cancers actively in their body right now, or anyone, or someone who's had it and now it's gone?
No, we're looking for people who actually are under treatment or have recently had it. This is for the phase two of the study. Mm-hmm. We want patients who have known cancer, and that way, this is why this is the initial study, which really gets all of these patients, and we want to be able to prove that we can accurately find the cancer cells in the circulation in these patients before we start using the test in people who have no known diagnosis of cancer to see if we can diagnose it early this way.
I'm going to say the number again. This is the number for the study because more people want to know it, and I want to make sure you get the biggest bang for your buck and hopefully get some new, because you need, what, about how many more do you need for this first phase?
50 patients total. We just started this week, so I think we need probably 48 or so. We've
okay.
got a couple of patients already.
Oh, good. Let's say the number. Six, and this texter says, please say the cancer study phone number and say it twice slowly. So I'll do that because it's important to get this work done. 612-863-8716. So they asked for twice. So now get your pen or pencil or computer or phone. 612-863-8716. So people will call on Monday, and what's likely to be that process of checking whether they can be part of the study or not? What do they need to show up with?
Once we get the phone call, one of our coordinators will go over some of the details of the study and confirm they meet the study criteria, and then they'll be asked to come over, sign a consent form, and give 4 tubes of blood.
And overall, kind of talk about what your hope is for all of this.
Our hope is once we confirm our initial findings with this pilot study, then we're going to launch a larger study in about 1,000 patients or so across the country. And we may even go outside the United States to get some data because we want to get diversity of patient populations and cancers. And once we determine in that study that, again, this is all panning out, we will probably go to do a what we call a definitive study that allows us to get FDA approval. And that is the step before we allow insurance companies to pay for the test.
Ultimately, so saving lives, is that where you're going?
Correct. Ultimately, saving lives by earlier diagnosis, by a better design of treatment that patients need and that they're most likely to respond to. And also finding the cancers early in patients who receive treatment, because we want to catch the recurrences early, because that's the best time to treat them.
How hard is it to get FDA approval?
It involves several steps, and there's an elaborate evaluation process, and they're very stringent in their criteria. So it's possible. I mean, there's several tests and drugs that get approved by the FDA every year. So I do think we're very optimistic that we will get there, but it's just going to take some work.
Yes, and time, I assume, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's interesting to look at the artificial intelligence piece in medicine and its benefits. I mean, we're talking about it here in cancer diagnosis. Are there other areas of study that you see artificial intelligence in the medical industry, the field?
It's getting applications widely across medicine in all sorts of ways, in better identifying patients early who may have complications of certain diseases just by looking at the data, their labs, et cetera, and the charts. There are artificial intelligence programs looking at patients who are admitted to a hospital. Within the first 2 or 3 days, they look at the parameters to see who is going to do poorly, who is going to do well and be discharged from the hospital so we can intervene early. As I mentioned before, we're looking at pathology specimens to elucidate more data from them so we can really early on predict how a patient is going to respond to a particular treatment. We're looking at x-rays in all sorts of different ways to see if something is cancerous or not. And if it's cancerous, is it going to respond to a certain treatment? How would the cancer is going to behave? That field is called radionics. So there's a lot of areas in which artificial intelligence is being applied. And to be fair, it has been applied for the last decade or more, maybe even a couple of decades, but not to the extent now as it is now. It's getting accelerated quite a bit. There's lots of excitement.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, I mean, we've had artificial intelligence with our phones. We say, look up this phone number. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways that we've seen this, but somehow now it seems to have been turned up a notch, as you just said.
Correct. It has, yeah. Traditionally, they used to use a term called neural networks. That has been used for a while to generate algorithms and nomograms and things like that. But now, because of the computing power that's available, because of the way that artificial intelligence and machine learning can be applied, everything's been kicked up a notch.
Yeah. A texter just wrote in, will the blood test work on most blood cancers too?
No, it is going to be harder for it to work on blood cancers because we still need to do some additional work in that area. There's a couple of types of blood cancer we're specifically trying to look at. But because the blood cancers have so many blood cells, that's the inherent nature of blood cancers, that is harder to distinguish from cancer cells. So right now, we're not applying it to blood cancers. We may in the future. We're mostly applying it to what we call solid tumors, non-blood cancers.
Interesting. Well, it seems like you're on a path that who knows. Welcome back. We're talking cancer with Dr. Bogdanoff Kanetti. He is with the Allina Healthcare Cancer Institute and Astron Biosciences. And we're talking about, if you just joined us this morning with the second half hour of the show, we're talking about a first-of-its-kind clinical trial using artificial intelligence and a simple blood draw to revolutionize how cancer is diagnosed and treated. Doctor, thanks for sticking around with us. We want to make sure we say the number again because people are now texting in and they're wanting to know how to be part of the study. And I think that's fantastic that we're eliciting this kind of a response. Maybe you want to say it. How can they find out more about the study? What is that number, please? And say it slowly, please.
Maybe if you could repeat that number for me. That,
yes, I can. I have it right in front of me. 612-863-8716. And that's someone there will answer probably Monday and talk about how you can get involved. This texter writes as a follow-up, are you saying that a cancer cell is from the prostate is distinguishable from a cancer cell that has a breast cancer? So can you, with artificial intelligence and the blood draw and this new technology, can you differentiate between a breast cancer cell and a prostate cancer cell?
Yes, we can. That is the advantage of the artificial intelligence, because what we do is we look at the image of the cell, And then we're also able to collect the cell and stain it for different specific markers that distinguish a prostate cell from a breast cell, from a colon cell. So we're using multiple different technologies all combined together and feeding it into the artificial intelligence algorithm that helps us distinguish different types of cancers. And the accuracy is pretty remarkable.
So in differentiating between different kinds of cancer and different parts of different organs in your body, has that always been true? Can you tell the difference between a breast cancer and a prostate cancer cell before this, or is this just happening now?
No, we are able to do that. Pathologists are able to take either cells or pieces of tissue from different organs, and they are able to distinguish them because there are some unique characteristics. Sometimes it becomes harder, and that's where some of these sophisticated methods, such as artificial intelligence or advanced imaging, will really help. We're using known methods and then enhancing them to get much more accuracy in differentiating the different types of cancers.
So I'm reading a little more about this. The second phase of the trial is expected to start in 2024 and will include other types of cancer patients, including lung, brain, kidney, and prostate. The question I have is, so you are looking for people who actually have those cancers actively in their body right now, or anyone, or someone who's had it and now it's gone?
No, we're looking for people who actually are under treatment or have recently had it. This is for the phase two of the study. Mm-hmm. We want patients who have known cancer, and that way, this is why this is the initial study, which really gets all of these patients, and we want to be able to prove that we can accurately find the cancer cells in the circulation in these patients before we start using the test in people who have no known diagnosis of cancer to see if we can diagnose it early this way.
I'm going to say the number again. This is the number for the study because more people want to know it, and I want to make sure you get the biggest bang for your buck and hopefully get some new, because you need, what, about how many more do you need for this first phase?
50 patients total. We just started this week, so I think we need probably 48 or so. We've
okay.
got a couple of patients already.
Oh, good. Let's say the number. Six, and this texter says, please say the cancer study phone number and say it twice slowly. So I'll do that because it's important to get this work done. 612-863-8716. So they asked for twice. So now get your pen or pencil or computer or phone. 612-863-8716. So people will call on Monday, and what's likely to be that process of checking whether they can be part of the study or not? What do they need to show up with?
Usually, once we get the phone call, one of our coordinators will go over some of the details of the study and confirm they meet the study criteria, and then they'll be asked to come over, sign a consent form, and give four tubes of blood.
And overall, kind of talk big, yeah, talk about what your hope is for all of this.
Our hope is once we confirm our initial findings with this pilot study, then we're going to launch a larger study in about 1,000 patients or so across the country. And we may even go outside the United States to get some data because we want to get diversity of patient populations and cancers. And once we determine in that study that, again, this is all panning out, we will probably go to do a what we call a definitive study that allows us to get FDA approval. And that is the step before we allow insurance companies to pay for the test.
Ultimately, saving lives, is that where you're going?
Correct. Ultimately, saving lives by earlier diagnosis, by a better design of treatment that patients need and that they're most likely to respond to. And also finding the cancers early in patients who receive treatment, because we want to catch the recurrences early because that's the best time to treat them.
How hard is it to get FDA approval?
It involves several steps, and there's an elaborate evaluation process, and they're very stringent in their criteria. So it's possible. I mean, there's several tests and drugs that get approved by the FDA every year. So I do think we're very optimistic that we will get there. But it's just going to take some work.
Yes, and time, I assume, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's interesting to look at the artificial intelligence piece in medicine and its benefits. I mean, we're talking about it here in cancer diagnosis. Are there other areas of study that you see artificial intelligence in the medical industry, the field?
It's getting applications widely across medicine in all sorts of ways, in better identifying patients early who may have complications of certain diseases just by looking at the data, their labs, et cetera, and the charts. There are artificial intelligence programs looking at patients who are admitted to a hospital. Within the first 2 or 3 days, they look at the parameters to see who is going to do poorly, who is going to do well and be discharged from the hospital so we can intervene early. As I mentioned before, we're looking at pathology specimens to elucidate more data from them so we can really early on predict how a patient is going to respond to a particular treatment. We're looking at x-rays in all sorts of different ways to see if something is cancerous or not. And if it's cancerous, is it going to respond to a certain treatment? How would the cancer is going to behave? That field is called radiomics. So there's a lot of areas in which artificial intelligence is being applied. And to be fair, it has been applied for the last decade or more, maybe even a couple of decades, but not to the extent now as it is now. It's getting accelerated quite a bit. There's lots of excitement.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, I mean, we've had artificial intelligence with our phones. We say, look up this phone number. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways that we've seen this, but somehow now it seems to have been turned up a notch, as you just said.
Correct. It has, yeah. Traditionally, they used to use a term called neural networks. That has been used for a while to generate algorithms and nomograms and things like that. But now, because of the computing power that's available, because of the way that artificial intelligence and machine learning can be applied, everything's been kicked up a notch.
Yeah. A texter just wrote in, will the blood test work on most blood cancers too?
No, it is going to be harder for it to work on blood cancers because we still need to do some additional work in that area. We are there's a couple of types of blood cancer we're specifically trying to look at. But because the blood cancers have so many blood cells, that's the inherent nature of blood cancers, that is harder to distinguish from cancer cells. So right now, we're not applying it to blood cancers. We may in the future. We're mostly applying it to what we call solid tumors, non-blood cancers.
Interesting. Well, it seems like you're on a path that who knows where it will lead in terms of early diagnosis and treatment and survival rate for cancer, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a quick break right now, our last break of the show. It is 651-461-9226. That is our text line. You can also call that line as well and be on the air, but a lot of people just like to text their questions, and we're having more questions are coming in, Doctor, so we'll try to get to some of them as we wrap up this hour. But right now, we're going to take a quick break on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And we're back with the last segment of the show. We have about 5 minutes left. And we're talking today with Dr. Bodrinov Kaneti. And he is with the Allina Health Cancer Institute and Astrin Biosciences. Doctor, are you the chief medical officer at Astrin, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's get to some questions because we have about 5 minutes left, and there are more that are coming, and I will also say the phone number again. This person texted in a short time ago, I have prostate cancer. I am on active surveillance. I have had 2 biopsies. Cancer found in only 1 sample at 5% of sample. Can this analysis determine the amount of cancer in the prostate or location? And, well, you're not looking for prostate yet. That's from David. But would he be a candidate maybe going forward? So first of all, maybe you can address the question, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course. He would be a candidate for the second phase of the study once that has been launched. The test is designed to identify if there are cancer cells in the blood. It really is not designed to identify where in the prostate the cancer cells are coming from. That will be assessed based on imaging, such as an MRI of the prostate. So that's how many of these tests work. You combine the imaging results with the blood results to get a much more accurate idea of where the cancer is and also how serious the cancer is. Because on patients like him who are on active surveillance, we don't expect cancer cells to be in the blood. So if we find cancer cells in the blood in some patients who have early stage cancer, we now know that that is probably a cancer that's a little more aggressive than what we're presuming it to be. So instead of watching it, we may want to do something about it. Hmm. And this is the unique ability of tests like this, is we're able to pick out the small subset of patients who may have what we believe to be non-aggressive cancers, but maybe we're getting fooled because the cancer is shedding cells, and we want to catch that.
That's so cool. So when you say active surveillance, as what the texter said, is that a person who has cancer right now and they're watching it, or has it been removed and they're, because, you know, I get scanned every 6 months, but every 6 months they say there's no recurrence. So in this texter, David's question is that he actually has it and they're just monitoring it.
Correct. Yeah, okay. There are some cancers where that is a accepted approach. So early stage, low grade prostate cancer, that is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And there are some breast cancers that are also being watched in some cases. So that's totally acceptable. But we know that some of those cancers will actually either turn more aggressive or will already be aggressive, and we're just missing that it is aggressive. So that's where tests like this will really be applicable, to find out that small subset in whom watching is not a good idea.
Yeah.
And then your case is a little different in this. You've already been treated surgically for the cancer, and I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
But there is a concept where we can start following blood samples in patients who've already received treatment to see if the cancer shows up again, then it'll be in the blood before it actually shows up on any X-ray.
All right, we have a minute left, so let's take a minute and say thank you to you and thank you to all the texters. Really appreciate the participation this morning. Doctor, we're going to say that number one more time. This is the number that you can call to reach out to find out if you would be eligible for this study. They're looking for about 48 people for this first-of-its-kind clinical trial using artificial intelligence and a blood draw to revolutionize how cancer is diagnosed. The number is 612-863-8716. I'll say it one more time, 612-863-8717. And we'll also, Doctor, podcast this and put it up on our website with that phone number. So I really appreciate this. And I tell you what, let's circle back and check in when you're kind of in the beginning stages, in the middle, and we'll see how it all worked out. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having us and your support.
Okay. We'll be back right after this. And we're back with the last segment of the show. We have about 5 minutes left, and we're talking today with Dr. Bodranoff Kaneti, and he is with the Allina Health Cancer Institute and Astrin Biosciences. Doctor, are you the chief medical officer at Astrin, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's get to some questions because we have about 5 minutes left, and there are more that are coming, and I will also say the phone number again. This person texted in a short time ago, I have prostate cancer. I am on active surveillance. I have had two biopsies. Cancer found in only one sample at 5% of sample. Can this analysis determine the amount of cancer in the prostate or location? And, well, you're not looking for prostate yet. That's from David. But would he be a candidate maybe going forward? So first of all, maybe you can address the question, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course. He would be a candidate for the second phase of the study once that has been launched. The test is designed to identify if there are cancer cells in the blood. It really is not designed to identify where in the prostate the cancer cells are coming from. That will be assessed based on imaging, such as an MRI of the prostate. So that's how many of these tests work. You combine the imaging results with the blood results to get a much more accurate idea of where the cancer is and also how serious the cancer is. Because on patients like him who are on active surveillance, we don't expect cancer cells to be in the blood. So if we find cancer cells in the blood in some patients who have early stage cancer, we now know that that is probably a cancer that's a little more aggressive than what we're presuming it to be. So instead of watching it, we may want to do something about it. Hmm. And this is the unique ability of tests like this, is we're able to pick out the small subset of patients who may have what we believe to be non-aggressive cancers, but maybe we're getting fooled because the cancer is shedding cells, and we want to catch that.
That's so cool. So when you say active surveillance, as what the texture said, is that a person who has cancer right now and they're watching it, or has it been removed and they're, because, you know, I get scanned every 6 months, but every 6 months they say there's no recurrence. So in this texture, David's question is that he actually has it and they're just monitoring it.
Correct. Yeah, okay. There are some cancers where that is a accepted approach. So early stage, low-grade prostate cancer, that is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And there are some breast cancers that are also being watched in some cases. So that's totally acceptable. But we know that some of those cancers will actually either turn more aggressive or will already be aggressive, and we're just missing that it is aggressive. So that's where tests like this will really be applicable, to find out that small subset in whom watching is not a good idea.
Yeah.
And then your case is a little different in this. You've already been treated surgically for the cancer, and I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
But there is a concept where we can start following blood samples in patients who've already received treatment to see if the cancer shows up again, then it'll be in the blood before it actually shows up on any x-ray.
All right, we have a minute left, so let's take a minute and say thank you to you and thank you to all the texters. Really appreciate the participation this morning. Doctor, we're going to say that number one more time. This is the number that you can call to reach out to find out if you would be eligible for this study. They're looking for about 48 people for this first-of-its-kind clinical trial using artificial intelligence and a blood draw to revolutionize how cancer is diagnosed. The number is 612-863-8716. I'll say it one more time, 612-863-8717. And we'll also, Doctor, podcast this and put it up on our website with that phone number. So I really appreciate this. And I tell you what, let's circle back and check in when you're kind of in the beginning stages, in the middle, and we'll see how it all worked out. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having us and your support.
Okay. We'll be back right after this.